Hello, good evening, and welcome to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Tonight, my special guest is the Irish Farmers Association's Animal Health Committee Chairman, Bert Stewart. Bert is also the IFA's Ulster North Leinster Regional President and is no stranger to Donegal. Indeed, he was up here only a couple of weeks ago for the AGM of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA. I've been speaking with him about a range of animal health issues. Bert, welcome to the programme. We're going to talk about a number of animal health related issues. And first of all, let's start off with TB, something that's been a problem for many, many years. That said, there has been strides made in the last decade or so. The number of reactors, both nationally and in Donegal, has dropped quite significantly.
Yeah, good evening, Chris. Yes, the number of reactors has dropped dramatically, as you say, in the last 10 years. If we go back to 2001, 2002, there was between 8,000 and 9,000 reactors. And in last year, it's on about 4,000 reactors, so the numbers have halved, you know, in the last 10 or 11 years. And you know, meeting with the department officials, there has been even a further drop in the number of incidents in the early part of this year, in the first couple of months of 2015. But still, it's no consolation for farmers that are affected, and there are a number of farmers affected, you know, in all counties throughout the country, I suppose, and Donegal is no exception there.
And just to put it into perspective, in the last couple of years, how many herds are we talking about being restricted typically now in a county like Donegal?
I think at the moment now, in February, the end of February 15, there's about 55 herds restricted in Donegal at the moment. So it is dropping, as we say, but it's no consolation for those 55 or so herds that are restricted at the moment. And there would have been a number of more herds restricted throughout the year. Look at the compensation that is there. We've highlighted to the minister is totally inadequate. And not only that, the meeting with the department, they have actually bringing in tighter restrictions for farmers affected with TB. There's a purchase-in restriction there at the moment. And it's a huge issue, and I seen it the last night I was up in Donegal where some farmers couldn't buy in cattle because they had a factory lesion, and having to wait 10 weeks for the result of the factory lesion to come back, that they couldn't purchase in cattle. The one concession, I suppose, that we did get from the department on that they could do a herd test immediately, and the department would pay for that, and they could buy in cattle in the meantime, pending the result of the factory lesion. One of the problems are out there, and I would see it around the country, is that different staff of the Department of Agriculture give different messages. They don't give farmers, when a farmer is contacted with having a TB lesion, they're not given all the options that are available for them there. And suddenly, 4 or 5 weeks down the line, they realise they could have done a test at day one, and they're in a situation that they have to wait then. It's easier to wait till the result of the lesion comes back. Look, at 82% or 83% of the lesions come back negative. So a lot of farmers are restricted when there's actually no need for the restriction.
And how much of the rules and regulations are EU-driven, and how much are they done through the department, and how much autonomy does it actually have?
Yeah, well, the purchase-in restriction is European legislation. Is there? It's been there from 1978. There was flexibility in it at local level up until this time last year when there was an EU audit, and the EU would have insisted that that they implement this, because if they didn't, the fund that comes from the European Union for the TB eradication program would be at risk. But there are other issues there that the government here and the department here, the minister and his department has movement on. And look, it's supposedly disappointing that we've seen just in February there, less than a month ago, Minister signed in a new statutory instrument. It's number 58 of 2015 is the name of it, is the Animal Health and Welfare Bill. And with huge issues of that, it was signed in without any consultation with the farm organisations. We had looked for a meeting on it, and suddenly we were called in to discover that this had been signed in. There were some of the issues that are in it, they have never been in the statutory instrument before, and they're in law as such now, as the minister, farmers will pay for all TB testing unless otherwise stated by the minister. That wasn't there before, and meeting the officials, they say, well, the flexibility is still there, the minister still will pay for one test in the year. It hasn't been there before, and we wonder why has it been put in now. Also in it, there's ceilings on the amount of payment on the live valuation, and the medication of animals if following notification to test. That's a huge issue. It's something probably farmers aren't very aware of, because when you get notification of a herd test, you get this, I suppose you call it a packet, about a half an inch deep with maybe 40, 50 pages on it, which most farmers don't go through. Farmers are busy enough without reading through 40 pages every time you get notified of a test. In the small print somewhere, it says you can't medicate an animal following notification of a test, only in emergency treatment and prescription of a vet. That has huge implications for farmers. In reality, if you're notified 2 months before your test, which they are, you can't treat a cow with a dry cow tube. You can't do with a drench for worms, a drench for fluke, which these have to be done a certain length of time before cow calves to have the withdrawal period adhered to. So farmers find themselves that the timeline that they have to do these routine administrations, routine drugs, which needs to be done because, of animal welfare.
I suppose it's frustrating for you and all the farming organisations that you have made detailed submissions. I know you've had one instance last September, and here changes have come in that maybe some people weren't even expecting at all. More bureaucracy. Are we going backwards now instead of forwards?
We're certainly going backwards. Look, the department has made enormous savings, with the reduced level of TB. They've made huge savings, and yet the cost burden of farmers increases. The restrictions there are seems to increase. And if unknowingly treat an animal before your test, which most farmers are not aware that they're not allowed to treat these animals before once they're notified the test, you're facing cross reporting on your single farm payment, and the fact that it's a statutory instrument now, you can also face prosecution. We have discussed this with the department locally, but locally they say, look, there's flexibility there, and we won't be implementing that. But that's not the point. It's there. It's in black and white. It's law.
My guest this evening is IFA Animal Health Committee Chairman Bert Stewart. Bert, in terms of, I suppose, farmers had been somewhat happy enough with live valuations regarding the loss of stock, but when you have a TB breakdown, and particularly in dairy cows, problems getting the income supplement there, I think you may have to lose something like 10%.
Yeah.
That's an issue as well, isn't it?
The income supplement, first of all, you must lose 10% of your herd to qualify for the income supplement. It's limited at 100 animals, and with larger herds going forward at the end of milk quotas, I think that's something we need that limit removed. We need the 10% removed, and the income supplement that there is totally inadequate. It hasn't been revisited from the start of live valuation, which is over 20 years ago. Currently, on a dairy cow, it's 25 euro. We have done figures from the National Farm Survey, and the actual loss when the cow is missing from the farm is 126 euros. So there's over 100 euro of a shortfall there. While the animal is missing from the farm, which a farmer has no control over, can't replace the animal, and his income is decimated, yet the department are very reluctant to move on this. And the minister must look at this, and for the small number of farmers that are still with a TB breakdown, they must be dealt with.
Now, in terms of TB and reactors, deer have long been associated with TB and carrying them, and in parts of the country, Wicklow in particular, and to some extent here in Donegal, deer management has become a very big issue, and a large number of deer have been taken out every year. What way are we going with regard to deer management?
Yeah, well, the Department of, well, between the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Agriculture and the Gaeltacht have put a deer management form in place. There are a number of bodies represented on it. It's going to look at the whole deer issue nationally. You know, wild deer, they have to be managed in a sustainable manner. It's alarming, I suppose, to see that Wicklow is one of the highest levels of TB in the country, is the highest level, way probably five times as many herds down in Wicklow as there are in Donegal now, so that gives you an idea of the problem. And I suppose one alarming thing is there'll be 13,000 deer culled in Wicklow every year, yet the numbers are still rising. The deer, the silky deer, I suppose in particular, have no natural predator, and the numbers keeps increasing, so there needs to be a management program in place. The department have taken out 100 deer in Wicklow, culled 100 healthy deer, I'd have to say. And the preliminary results, I suppose, are telling us to have up to 4% of them have shown visible lesions. They are doing a TB test to test the strain of TB in the deer. Strain in the TB, they say it's the same strain of TB that's in cattle, the same strain of TB that's in badgers. So this deer management forum hopefully will deal with managing the deer some way, because they're a huge issue, not just only in TB, but also the damage they do to crops, you know, breaking down fences, and a huge issue down in that area of road safety, as it is in Donegal as well, I know. So we'll see where the deer go, and we look forward to more results of this comprehensive study that's going on.
Two other things, Bert, before we leave you. The wildlife programme, and there's been a vaccination programme carried out in a number of counties on trial. Maybe a word about that, and then also brucellosis. But firstly, the wildlife programme that's been in place.
I suppose we're very lucky in this country to have a wildlife programme. There's vaccination, badger vaccination, being carried out in 10 areas in the country. There is still a cull where there is a disease breakdown. There is a vaccination programme going on. Going forward, the department say, you know, it's not sustainable to keep culling badgers. So they have this pilot program in place to see, you know, if will vaccination work. They have very preliminary results on it yet, and they seem to think that it's no worse than the culling. So it's, look, at I suppose the third of the badgers that are captured are tested for TB. Not all of them, and sometimes farmers say, well, why capture badgers if you don't test them for TB? But they have established that probably 20% of badgers at this stage have TB, whereas 10 years ago, whenever TB levels were much higher, as high as 45 to 50% of badgers had TB. It's very clear that over the last 10 years, one of the contributing factors to the reduction in TB levels is the wildlife control program.
Finally, on to brucellosis, from the beginning of January, the herd test been dropped. Northern Ireland is, 3 years brucellosis free, more or less, at the moment. So quite a lot happening in this area.
Yeah, look, it's a good move on brucellosis, and we have kept testing in place here until Northern Ireland. We could have, you know, relaxed the testing that was here whenever we did achieve brucellosis free status, but we felt there was a threat from brucellosis in Northern Ireland. So look, they have gone 3 years brucellosis free now in the middle of March. They've achieved 3 years. They applied to the European Commission for free status. So they'll probably achieve that in probably June, we're hearing now. And from June on, there'll be no pre-movement test for any female animals here over 24 months or bulls over 24 months. It's a saving for farmers and probably $6 million a year.
Bert Stewart, the IFA Animal Health Committee Chairman there. Just time for some livestock prices. Cattle prices, steers no change, €4.15 a kilo. Heifers up, making €4.25 to €4.27 a kilo. No change for U-grade bulls, making €4.20 a kilo. And our grade cows up €4.10 a kilo. Sheep prices, and no change. Hoggets up to 24 kilos, making €6.10 a kilo. Spring lambs up to 20 kilos, making up to €7 a kilo. And ewes, €3.50 a kilo. Well, that's it for another programme. From me, Chris Ashmore, a very good evening.